Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn-Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, June the 30th, 2015. Believe it or not, 2015. This is hour 273 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui. With their amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Shaharon, or one of the Shaharons, using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Before we get started, I just wanted to say how much I appreciate James from North Wales, Pennsylvania, for literally sponsoring HelloEarth.info and all of Michael's hours, so people can hear from the beginning, or if Michael's sailing the Mediterranean, they can go back and listen to some other hour. So thank you, James, so much, and for your continued support. And hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis. And it's nice here. And how's the weather there?
Oh, well, we had a rainbow somewhere. I couldn't see it, but it was raining, and now the sun's out. And
oh, nice.
It's too much water from the sky here. We need to have this water land in California.
Yeah.
Or in the desert part of the mainland. But it's good.
Good.
It's good. It's July. It's almost July. Can you believe it's the whole year is almost, half the year is gone.
Hmm. Well, I did something this Sunday. I went over and visited I'm ordained in the Gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I did something. I just said, I wondered how they're doing. And this is where I got my start, right here on Maui. And, they've grown considerably from when I first saw them. They were in a little old military barracks that was converted into church. It was painted white, had a steep roof, and typical church-looking building, you know. Of course, now they got a beautifully architecturally designed building. But I went in there and see how they're doing. And they remembered me, and, in fact, they were really happy to see me. But what had happened was I sat in there, and I was kind of happy because a lot of it was really good. But, a lot of it was really archaic, and it's almost like they're still stuck in the muck of the ancient literature. You know, those of you who are listening to this podcast don't know how much liberty you have in listening to this, because it really is an extension of a message that's been tried to be told to a planet through various sources, and some of those sources that are being trying to be told are compiled in the Holy Bible. But then, of course, you have people trying to, stay within the little, you remember little kid stuff when you were trying to learn how to color, and they would give you the outlines, so you would take your crayon and you would color inside of the lines.
Inside. Don't go outside the lines.
Yes. That's exactly why so many people get disappointed in church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems that they have also incurred was using fear.
Mm.
What is fear is, if you don't get right, you go to where?
H-E-L-L.
Yeah, and it's still using that. And they haven't really broken from it. Now, I understand it very well because I'm ordained under the same line of ministry, and yet I end up not being there because what I am explaining is, full of liberty, full of life, full of a real destiny that is much higher, and they don't have a concept of where heaven is. They say, heaven, heaven, don't you want to go to heaven? Oh my goodness. And then I went over to the pastor, and I told her a little story, and it was too big of a story. She didn't want to really think that anyone could really experience a portion of heaven, especially if it's written in the Bible, named the New Jerusalem. If you go to the last book of the Bible, toward the last page, as the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Mm. Now, between the beginning and the end, we have the Bible. But you know, that's not the end story. There's a whole reality of the whole destiny of the human race. But the confusing part is, if you want to just color in between the lines, you never grow out of childhood art. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine Michelangelo doing art that way? Mm. Yet he did, you know, because the people say they can see his basic artwork underneath, you know, his...
Oh, the sketch?
The sketch. But it covered it all up, right?
Right.
It was just theme. And basically what the Holy Bible is sketch. But some people got to stay within the lines. And if they get out of it a little bit, or this line means something that they don't want to really understand what it is about. So I want to continue in giving more and more revelation. And if you listen to what I'm saying, you will be on the road to high destiny, because our life is so important to develop high destiny. And that destiny is already contained in us. The divinity that is placed within each human being who has been aligned toward the universe, or what they call Havona gravity, is being pulled toward divine sonship, or to become truly a divine being, a high order being that is eternal in life. But they don't understand what is eternal life. Many times they think it's just really nice and good and wonderful, but yet they experience portions of it, and these portions are real. And this is probably the reason I was directed to gain this affiliation with this type of ministry, because the spiritual realm is very real within that. They don't squelch it, which is the higher destiny appreciation. It's one of the areas in which the human kind is given different attuities, or you know, abilities to receive, and we are of a in between order, a very massive order of human design, and we have basically a brain which has both right and left hemisphere, right?
Yes.
And one of the hemispheres is used, you know, what we call art and stuff like that. The other one is sort of like really very, very logical and, yeah? Mm-hmm. And very, yeah. So the side of art and the side of that really is more attuned to the spiritual aspects. But if you become too right brain, left brain, whatever, you know, I forget which is which. But in the sense of becoming too attuned to, you might say, the logical, is like those who have the spiritual duty are trying to make it mechanistic, and you got to stay within the lines. Mm-hmm. And it saddens me so much. Yet there was so much joy, but so much sadness at the same time. Because this unwillingness to look at the broader picture, the true meaning behind what an archaic 2,000-year-old Bible is all about. Actually, the Bible is not quite that old, because it was compiled by the Council of, I forgot the name, but it's back there in Turkey. Well, anyway, they compiled supposedly what became known as our Bible, but it's archaic. It's only the sketch under Michelangelo's masterpieces. Imagine what I'm trying to compare right now, the knowledge I was given by the high teachers. One high teacher in particular, and that was all this liberty that we are going to be able to put to use. If we would just start to really understand what we're going to put on top of that sketchwork, the framework of scripture. You know, one of the things that was given was given to the prophet Daniel. You know, Daniel is famous because he was the Daniel in the lion's den. You know, and there was this idea that, you know, these prophets of God, and there was real attempt, you know, by our celestial friends to try to uplift and give the message of the divine nature that we are ascending to through individuals, through humans. But the world system didn't like that. So what had happened was Daniel was thrown into the lion's den to be eaten and tore up. You know that guy, Kim Jong-un?
Yes.
He threw his uncle, who was key to put him into power, into the dog's den. Big dogs who were not, they were all hungry, okay? Without naked, right? And the uncle was torn up and eaten alive by the dogs. Now, something that archaic, that's being done today. Archaic techniques of doing things like that. Daniel was thrown into a den of lions. Now, these were probably hungry lions. But, you know, they ended up just lying down and looking at Daniel, because what had happened is, you know how the lions are after they have the big meal?
They sleep.
Yeah, they're satiated. They're like, okay, thank you very much. I'm going to digest. Well, they weren't supposed to be that way. They were supposed to be hungry. But what had happened was our angelic friends or seraphic friends came down and basically turned on the switch, which has made them satiated. It made them like, oh, I'm so full, I don't need to eat this guy over here. So Daniel is that Daniel in the lion's den. But at the end of his book, he said, oh, Daniel, seal up the word of this book until the time of the end, where many shall go to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, not only knowledge, information. So information is the ability to get or retrieve knowledge. Knowledge, information, they're kind of synonymous. But we are in that knowledge age or information age, where this unveiling. Now, many people, theologians, sit there and think about it. What is this book? What is this unraveling that we're supposed to have that Daniel sealed up to the time of the end? But did you know that Urantia book came out in the time of the end when many running to and fro, knowledge being increased? And it's in this time period right now. This greater vision, this greater revelation that Daniel had himself experienced in part and knowing in part, but he couldn't tell it. He was bound not to, because he wasn't able to give it out in a way that would not be given and misinterpreted, so that those who would put it in would be in their hands, would not color put the drawings down and say, you gotta just go in between the lines. You cannot really be a master artist. But the truth is, this higher revelation in which Daniel was told not to unravel, is being unraveled right now. And we've been gifted with a textbook, the Urantia book, which helps open up that revelation. And myself, who has experienced that these revelations are true, absolutely. And also that the activity of these guardians of destiny and our angels of, and the, when I ask our friend, the Chaharuns, to come in and give insight, it's all part of this book that was sealed to the time of the end. And we had to get modern technology. We had to get all of these things because that's all part of ascending. And if we're not ascending, then we're either bound in between the lines and we'll stay that way. And many times that's the hardship. Yet, I suspect that we are also in an evolutionary stage that is beyond the norm, because what we have today is a high civilization of technology, greater revelations are coming forward, and at the same time mass confusion and destabilization of tradition, which has to be broken. Traditions are like the lines. When you give the sketch to the master can see the sketch and then truly place a work of art over it. But sometimes he just changes. It doesn't follow. You can find that they, oh my goodness, it's, he had a whole nother idea under this canvas, because they use another type of x-ray tech. It's really not x-ray, but it's a type of interference technology that can look underneath the actual paint to see the sketch. We are at that point, and I'm afraid, you know, almost ashamed to say that the very source in which wonderful revelations and the understanding of the love of God, the divinity, and the embrace of the divine came from is stuck at a very childhood level of understanding what we as individuals are able to paint. But you know, many times it takes work. And that work will unravel many mysteries. Those of you wondering, what is Curtis up to? I'll tell you what Curtis is up to behind the scenes. And he's in unraveling a mystery of a phenomenon that is now interpreted as real. The quantum reality and the quantum entanglement are one of the areas which the Urantia book considered at the time, back in the 1930s, that humanity had not understood and not understood these other areas. However, we are coming to a point where we will be able to understand and actually use these technologies. One of them was suppressed, which was Tesla's technology of wireless power transmission. We understand well wireless transmission of information through radio waves, the phenomena of propagating electromagnetic waves. But electromagnetic waves follow suit in a well-understood way, at least understood in the terms of what was able to be experimented with. However, what Tesla also used was scalar technology and used the quantum field as part of that ability of projecting energy, also actually harmonizing energy and collecting it by knowing how to start that energy up. And then he kind of collected it, not so much in terms of a linear vibration, like gathering a... Like, you play jump rope, right, Curtis? Or you've seen kids play jump rope.
Well, yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, I did. I actually did jump rope with girls. They call that double, you know, when they get two?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They liked me because I could do the two ropes together in a nice big loop. So they had a lot of room to jump in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they say, oh, go car for us, you know. Show us how to I mean, make it nice and big. And then I said, I want to jump in there too. So I did. And sure enough, the rope got tangled around my foot and I didn't do very well. But anyway, the idea is, and you also can take that same rope and you can just shake one end and the next thing you propagate a wave down the rope, right? You see, you've done that.
Yes, that's it, a wave.
Yeah. Well, that wave technology is not what Tesla used. He used something very different in a sense. He used a scalar wave. A scalar wave is not a wave at all. It is a, you might say, a inducement of what is not there to be there. Maybe a close analogy would be, if you lay the rope down there, you don't do anything on one end, and then you take the other end of the handle, draw it absolutely tight, okay? And one person holds the other at one end, and you feel that tension happen. You kind of know somebody's on the other end, and that's why fishing is so much fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're drawing that line in, and it's like, oh, it's just the same old thing. And suddenly, bang, something hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you hope it's a fish, not a monster. Or a monster fish would be even nicer.
Yes.
But they usually get away. And that's how I can tell my stories, right? Because I don't need the proof, right? But I can show the broken line.
Well, you are a fisherman.
Yeah, but I don't do that. You know, not just for sport. It was more for commercial purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So your proof is, of course, in your sales.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to record this. But anyway, the idea behind this tension all of a sudden is that fishing line is like that quantum field. And suddenly, if you do something on one end, the other end does something. And it goes, but it's instantaneous. Now, this is how the Shahruns communicate with me, because the quantum field, we have something, it's a pituitary and a pineal gland. We have basically two stuck right inside of our head. They entangled me in the New Jerusalem so that I might be able to have this instantaneous communication at a level more attuned to them. Mm-hmm. Not to say that we others don't have that ability, because the quantum field also can disturb anyone who tries to tune in, you know. So you can be tuned in and you kind of, they have this pressure wave, and it's like a spiritual pressure wave drawing you into greater truth. Now, this actual quantum level is where you're working on right now, Curtis, and there was proof that it works, right?
Yes. Yeah,
and that's where, you know, it starts. It doesn't start with the finished product. Oh, I've seen some people come with nearly finished product, but it's, one guy came in to a relatively rich, not super rich, but relatively rich, multi-millionaire, and said he wanted him to bring this thing to market. And what he brought in was 2 8-foot racks of electronic equipment. Rolled them in, wheeled them in. I guess he had a shipping company, and put them in the office of that and said, look at what it can do. And he turned it on, and the CEO, and he was everything. He had the CEO, the CFO, and everything. Looked at it. And he said, that's nice. You can do all that? He said, yes. But I need somebody to put all of this into this, which was an integrated circuit. And it succeeded. And today, when you have a smartphone, your displays and all the things that can go on in the computation behind it are part of this guy's invention, which was monstrous in size. You know, not just one 8-foot relay rack, which is a approximately 8 feet high, but about 3 feet wide and about 3 feet deep. But two of them. Now you can take them out of your pocket. I saw this happen. But he had to dream it up using off-the-shelf components. Now, what's your off-the-shelf components right now looks to be nothing more than a peg in the ground, some gizmo relays, and the proper vibratory rate to stimulate this quantum field. Mm-hmm. And to produce this scalar wave, not the longitudinal wave, the one that you shake and the wave goes down the jump rope, but the one that's at tension, and then you just know how to release it, right?
Yes.
So you can imagine, if you were to imagine that there is tension in this quantum field, there's tension, like two people at the end of tug of war on this rope. Mm-hmm. One person releases it. What happens to it? It gets delivered. The guy falls back, right? And the other, the one that releases is laughing on the ground. But anyway, it's one of those things that happens in terms of the mechanism. It's not a true analogy, but it's, you know, an analogy that shows you the difference between what we really know. We really know, you know, how to set waves down that rope and shake that end and the wave goes down the rope. But we really don't know how to use that other one. And that's what you're working on right now, Curtis. Mm-hmm. So Curtis is hoping anybody contact him to help make it happen. Because he needs to get over to the other coast.
Yeah, the west coast.
The west coast. And then start to put together the program to make that possible, to take this into the office of the right person. Mm-hmm. To develop it further, because it's like a lot of these things don't just simply happen. You got to work at it, and it takes energy and time, and that energy and time is a lot of mental energy and time. So that's interesting. That's really interesting. And what's in the future are these technologies will be powering free information and energy in posts all around the world, globally, bringing the entire planet to oneness and bringing us to a level of enlightenment of each other as well as much higher realms of truth. And it will be even in the jungles. It could just drop them from space, you know, or drop them from the air. You know, when they land, that's another, it'll just, you know, land right there as a spike in the ground. Mm-hmm. As another nodal area, another node, and then just continue on. We're doing it right now with cellular technologies, but this is even more than that, because it'll also afford the ability to power energies, power the energy requirements of homes and places. So people will be not shut out from the rest of the world. There was a experiment done in India called the computer in the wall in India. And what the experimenters were looking at was the intuitive nature of people and their technology. They simply put a computer in a wall in a city, a hole in the wall of a city. And I saw the picture. It's really it was like a window, what could look like a window, but it was a hole like that in a wall, accessible to the height of children. And it was there, open 24 hours a day, 24/7. And they wanted to find out what would happen. And what had happened was that these young children began to play with it. And then they began to play more seriously with it. Soon, those who understood a little bit more and a little bit more were able to navigate with it. And then they began to be able to share it. Those who knew more taught those who knew less. And pretty soon, people were doing all kinds of computations, these kids, on the computer. The phenomena of the intuitive nature of our mind was proven through the hole in the wall, the computer in the hole in the wall. Mm-hmm. Not teaching them one thing, just turn the thing on. Later on, of course, they learn how to turn it on and off and whatever. And it was a absolutely functional thing. And they proved that that works. If you look at, you know, you get your, many times they try to make technology so intuitive. Don't need a thick book of instruction manual. Instead, they just pretty much throw technology at you. Your smartphone's an example. And you intuitively seek what you need and then you build it up or pare it down according to your needs. This is the same thing that will be happening with our celestial friends into our ascension process and has been going on for a long time. But the problem is that we end up taking it in our hands and then saying, you got a color only in between the lines. If you don't know how to do that, you don't know how to color. You don't know how to do art, which is totally wrong. And this is an area in which we will be moving more and more into a movement of greater liberty, of greater knowledge, but not abandoning, you might say, the old things, but building upon them with truth and greater knowledge. Yeah. So I got all kinds of background noise, Curtis.
Oh, I just plugged in the air conditioner in.
Oh, okay. I was hearing all kinds of click, click.
Oh, that was me dropping my headphone as I was trying to put it on. I'm sorry. Temperature here, and all of a sudden, computer's not happy, and I thought we could get away without the air conditioner on.
Yeah. Well, no, it's, air conditioning is not all that a problem. You know, the problem a lot of times may be.
Sorry to disturb you.
Well, it was clicking and stuff. I think, well, what? A lot louder than the little vibration of the.
Oh, maybe that was the, I don't know, the surge, maybe.
No, it was you putting down your headphones.
Oh, okay. Picking them up and dropping them before.
Yeah, that's pretty loud.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's pretty loud. So anyway, yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, no. It's just one of those things that happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I can't even hear your air conditioning running. Mm-hmm. So.
You're talking about our celestial friends.
Yeah, our celestial friends have been, like, coming along, like, trying to deliver information. But this one segment, I was going back to Daniel, of this mysterious book sealed up. What is it? I say it is the Urantia book. I say it is the information in the Urantia book. Mm-hmm. I say it is people like myself who are taken to, I believe, nearly the same place, educated in nearly the same way as Daniel. See, Daniel had some of his intellect you know, kind of wiped of every detail. Sometimes it's just imparted, a lot of time telepathically. But a lot was shown to him. And I find this over and over and over again, this thread of truth running through the ancient scriptures, through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. And now I see it as in a more straightforward sense. The problem with understanding the ascension process is that it, when it was put forth, it was put forth in somewhat of an esoteric sense, special knowledge. Today, it's going to be more point of fact, because that would be a point in which humanity understands. Like a point of fact that you turn this little thing and the light comes on. If you were to go back with our electrical system, they'd fall down flat on the back under not understanding. It's like looking at the cities. And yet, ahead of us in other planets, other worlds, are so much further ahead than us. And this is all part of the ascension process. We have to kind of be able to adopt, not reject. But rejection happens because of the one problem of humanity. It's fear. Fear is an incomplete knowledge that isn't able to be overcome through a, you might say, a reference to other zones of safety. Safety in terms of, it could be physical safety, it could be financial security, it could be many, many other things that can destabilize this concept of stability, so that you can create this, or you can have fear. But fear is also a tremendous limiting factor. One of the things that limits us moving forward is fear, right? And, you know, we don't want to, investors don't want to have a unsure thing. They want as close as possible to the sure thing. And it's got to be made that way. All it needs is a few little things, little licks. And that's what happened with Tesla. Tesla was able to take that fear away and give the investors the kind of confidence that would say, AC is the way, and we'll make it work. It took that fear away so that Westinghouse could do it. And now we have a whole world lit up with that technology of AC. But now you're, Curtis, are moving in a very special line of developing another segment of that. And that is going to happen, whether it be you or someone else that brings it to bear and to share it with the world. It's a matter of overcoming fear. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fear of the investors. See? That's never going to work. It's not going to put a nickel on that, right? Because it's got, what, checks and balances that balance out fear, you know. And some of these using fear. I remember what was so sad this past weekend in church was to hear the minister say, "I want to scare you into heaven." I said, "Oh my goodness." "Oh, I want to scare you into heaven."
Did you fall off your chair?
No, I didn't. I just got real sad. Mm-hmm. But you know, see, the beauty of our ascension is that you're not supposed to get scared of it. It's our inheritance. Yeah, it might have been robbed from us at one point, but it's given back. It's given back in the fact that we can and do have the ability to ascend to that level of divinity, attain divinity, and be finality in truth, a true eternal being. And along that path of development is all kinds of discoveries. And it's all part of that life experience to go ahead and make all of these wonderful discoveries. Because that what makes, you might say, life interesting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes even entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really fun when you really... That's why experimentation is wonderful. Sometimes you don't have to necessarily do an experiment uniquely. You just do one that is already been done and just see that it works. And that's pretty much what you're doing, going to be doing, yeah, Curtis?
Yes.
Doing an experiment that was already done.
And they've already done it.
Yeah. But now you want to make it demonstrable to the right people.
And we want to do it again.
Yeah, again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes away fear.
Yeah.
So, you know... Then the development of this. What it will do is it will create, can you imagine the energy? You take a small amount of energy, you allow the tension that is on our planet right now. And our planet is, with this tension, actually oscillating at a frequency on that tension that is the Schumann resonance of our planet, very low frequency, extremely low frequency. And Tesla noted that the frequency had to be low, right?
Yes, he did.
And he didn't really... Did he really tell you the frequency? No, yeah. He didn't tell in the panel. He did specify it to be very low.
Mm-hmm.
But those that are experimenting with very low frequency know it works. And that would be our U.S. Navy working with the submarines. Not only the U.S. Navy uses low frequency, but the problem is with that, they're using electromagnetics at ultra-low... very low frequencies. It's just above audible. And some people can actually hear it. And it can sound like... And you know, if these people can actually hear it. But that's too high. It's below audible, is what Tesla was talking about. Below audible.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't hurt the poor whales. You can imagine transmitting from Maine and affecting the whales in the Pacific? But that's what's being done. You want to talk to a submarine in the Pacific, you can talk to them from Maine. And the signals they would receive would be primarily like old-fashioned teletype. And... yet the poor whales will hear it in a way that's driving them nuts. So that's been known by the Navy for a long time. They interfere with the mammals. But for national security, there goes that magic word, security. Add another one, national security, and they can almost do anything they want. Isn't that right, Curtis?
Yes, that's written right into the paper when they wrote up the NASA.
Oh,
In 1958. That's on the website under NASA, the mm-hmm. NASA connection.
Yeah.
Right in there, I pulled out those words for national security. They don't have to tell the American public anything.
Yeah.
I mean, in the Huffington Post, a few days ago, they showed how the live feed from the International Space Station was disrupted, and that's after they saw those three craft come up from the Earth.
So, oh yeah.
So it's good that it makes the national news, gets people aware that something's going on. We're not the only ones. And just because they don't tell us we're the only ones, we don't have to wait until the government tells us.
Yeah. But you're headed right down a very exciting path.
Mm-hmm.
And wish you luck. Anybody wants to get involved with Curtis, you're open to anybody else. It's the world you want, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It's free for everybody.
Oh, my gosh. Tesla said it would change civilization.
As we
did. Would jump 100 years.
Oh, yeah. It'll throw us into an age of light and life.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the mortals suddenly realize so much about ourselves. We, the mortal race of Rancho.
Mm-hmm.
And grow in brotherly affinity. Through that, we become the singular, the single language, the ultimate bridge language, and the entire planet will become one. And not to say that it's not going to have some friction, but it'll be very interesting in terms of bringing forth enlightenment.
We can do it. Our planet can do it. The people of Earth can do it.
Yeah.
Maybe not the globalists. They don't want it. Or the Bilderbergs. They don't want it. But
well, it's the same thing about,
there's more of us.
Can we make money doing it? No.
No.
You just unify the entire planet. Maybe you could make money doing it, but it'd be like, I couldn't have secrets or all kinds of things. Well, anyway, that's many things. So, have the ultimate greater good. That's what the planet is about. This planet has, a greater holding capacity than, 7 billion people. It's nearly got the holding capacity of twice that many.
Mm-hmm.
If we get together, if we don't, that holding capacity is, nearly at the end. Yet the capacity of many of the other planets of mortal occupation are much smaller in population than planet Earth, much smaller. Many of them not reaching even a billion. So, in a sense, we are breaking many of the rules of the normal development of planetary ascent. But having with us part of at least a sketch of our divinity ascent. Only problem is, let's be more like Michelangelo and just use them as guidelines for the grand art. Not have to be like a child, just coloring in between the lines. You understand?
Yes, that's sad when they say, don't step out of your unit, just follow the path and
it's not almost
be
like,
creative.
Exactly. And all creativity really comes from a type of reflectivity within us.
Yes,
and that
our brains.
Yeah, our brain. And our brain united in and actually supposedly, more and more inspired by a type of reflectivity that only we, the human race, possess. But, like we know, aluminum and things like that, fluoride in our water sources try to disable these glandular attuities to make our minds more attuned to higher level knowledge and allow us to descend to a lower vibration and stay at that lower vibration. I'm talking about a spiritual vibration. A spiritual vibration meaning a spiritual resonance. The source of inspiration, the source of mind sharing that I do and have shown with working with the Shahruns, the source of visions, the source of inspiration, the source of inventiveness, comes down through the you might say, the quantum field, that same quantum field that we're just now really learning about. And we're just at awe. And in fact, most of the physicists are like, yeah, there it is, but to tell you what it is, I don't know. And they're all saying the same thing. Tell you what it is, I don't know. I don't know what, you know. And then there was, of course, Einstein, the spooky action in the distance. You know, he had no idea what it was, but it was real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, that's one of the wonderful things about quantum entanglement, quantum teleportation, and quantum transmission of knowledge. Yeah. It's there for the taking. We were equipped with it, having a pineal gland. Even, you know, perhaps with kind of a crippled pineal gland, we still would be able to sense it, sense more, you know.
Even with a crippled pineal
yeah.
gland?
Yeah, a calcified one, perhaps.
Yeah, ours are probably calcified with all the poison in the food.
Well, fluoridated water has been proven to do that, calcify it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the reflectivity that's within there and the associated resonance that brings about knowledge is amazing. And it has been gifted to us. In fact, that works very closely with the divinity fractal. The divinity fractal, holographic, you might say, thought adjuster, that piece of the Father, first source and center, from divinity, the divine place, rebounds and resonates with the changes in our mental state, because that is what happens, associated with the changes in the mental state. And we know about alpha waves, beta waves in our minds. What about the other ones, if there are other ones? Of course there's other ones in between. And these are also waves in which our resonant minds are able to reflect divinity understanding, to make them really understandable to us. Sometimes becomes a real challenge, and it takes time. Invention. One of the things Edison said about inventiveness was about the perspiration part. 1% inspiration, 99%. Of course, he got some of his inspiration by stealing it, like others who were, you know, like really rich. I was just mentioning to Curtis about how Marconi stole inspiration. The scientific inspiration of radio was not discovered by him, but other physicists. But he patented it using the very apparatus that these various physicists had used to demonstrate the reality of radio propagation.
Yeah, he worked with Tesla.
Yeah, and of course Tesla knew more about it, and actually did prove it before in a bigger way. You know, not just that it happens, but what you're working with is not radio wave, not the radio wave. Mm-hmm. The radio wave is that wave that you propagate down the rope when you shake it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he also had that other one, that's tension. That wave, which is not a wave, and be able to release it, break that chain, and then it becomes useful. He gave some interesting words to describe how much energy is there. I don't know if you remember it, we could quote it, but Curtis, you quoted it to me a couple of times, how much energy was there.
Oh, do you mean the tens of thousands of horsepower?
Yeah, from just...
At each receiver?
At each little receiver, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was not even pushed into the the sending side.
That's right.
That's the significant part.
And where the power came from.
Yeah. It's sort of like this. If you grab that tension on the rope, Curtis, mm-hmm. you and I have the rope. You hold it in your right hand, I hold it in my right hand. Now we're going to lean back, okay? I'm leaning back and you're leaning back. There's tension in that rope, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that tension, I'm not really using much at all, okay? I'm just hanging on to that. But gravity is sort of pulling me back, right? Creating that tension.
Yes.
It's there, but I'm not creating it. I'm just got a grip, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I let go. I'm ready to take a step back, and you're not. So you fall flat on your back, and I'm laughing at you. Gotcha. But the idea is, the release of this mysterious tension. What is that extra force? Well, we know I'm using the analogy of gravity. Gravity is that tension, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, because it wasn't our physical input. This is, in a sense, what Tesla was discovered, but was unable to bring to the public. All this free energy. It's there. And you don't have to work at it. It's there. Just hang on. Or release. Basically, that's the idea. And all of this is coming to me in a way from a kind of resonance that I receive oftentimes in inspiring me to be able to try to explain things like this. And this is a way in which so many other inventors have been able to follow the path toward inventiveness.
Yeah, the rope is a good way to describe it. That it's
we're not putting
a wave.
Yeah, but it's sort of not, you know, we're not putting a wave into it, right? It's just leaning back.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing how to lean back, that's the trick to you know, get that energy that's there and use it. Now, if I had, when you lean and you fall back, if I had put a collector there, which is a big cushion, and this cushion had a little valve on it that pushed it to a turbine, pushed the air that you would, release out of this air cushion, you fall back, and poof, that burst of air that comes out of it runs the turbine, and now you got free energy. No, I'm just
not exactly, but yeah,
not exactly. It's not really
exactly, not close,
but it's the idea. You're releasing mm-hmm. it; it's already there. You just try to find a way to capture it, and then mm-hmm. Tesla did both, and you have it's. This experiment's been done already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what it amounted to was a transmitting unit, and you had to get it further out than 1,000 feet, yeah,
mm-hmm.
to go to the receiving unit. But yet, the further out you get, the more, you know, the more tension you have, the more power you were able to get out of it. And that was something in Tesla's own words. Now, Tesla had these long descriptions, which an English teacher would have told him was a run-on sentence.
I love them.
You love these run-on
sentences? I love it because it's Tesla's own words.
Yeah, it tells you what kind of a brain
his
he had.
Own
run-on
words.
Sentence meant he could hold a thought that was paragraphs long.
I said to Marcy, let me read this to you. Oh, I'll never understand it. Oh, yes, you will. It's all English. I'll help you along the way. Just all of a sudden, get
sentence.
To one spot. No, that's this is what this means. Okay, and We went through half of it together. That's good, because good to have someone to talk to. And but my other website, the Tesla website, that's hello. It's a hyphenated word, so it's hello-earth.com or hello-earth.com. And what Michael's talking about is not in there, but the beginning of it is in there. And it's led me to where we are.
Yeah. And we're not going to, you're not going to be coloring in between the lines.
No. No, this is fresh new thinking.
Yeah.
It's 121 years old.
Yeah. It was, what do you call it? Squelched or covered up or mm-hmm. just lost.
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
One of those, but Tesla really was from Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't, in the in that one book article from 1900. Oh, let me just reach in so I can grab the exact same one. The problem of increasing human energy, with special reference to the harnessing of the sun's energy, written by Nikola Tesla in the year 1900. You can read it on the web for free. And there's one paragraph in there. You've heard me say this before. A long time ago, when I was a boy, I was afflicted with a singular trouble which seemed to have been due to an extraordinary excitability of the retina. It was the appearance of images by which their persistence marred the vision of real objects and interfered with thought. And the paragraph goes on quite a bit, and many things in there show that this man was not from this planet, and that's why.
I don't necessarily always agree with that.
I know you don't.
Because of the fact that I have many of those things happen to me. I know them as real, mm-hmm. but they are real.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they are real.
But I don't claim to be from another planet. But the idea is...
You're from Maui.
Yeah, I was born here. But the idea is that Tesla was a man also. But his ability to receive information may very well have come from sources off planet.
Mm-hmm. And that's what that paragraph describes.
Yeah. It's kind of scary, you know, when you start seeing these things.
Oh, he was petrified.
Extraordinary excitability of the retina.
Of the retina.
You know, let me explain to you. I was just explaining something to Curtis about new technologies out there that we are. We already have technologies that could be put over your picture window, your glass. You look out and you see right through it, clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to see another image. You want to, you know, you could send a picture to it, and it'll become a picture, an actual picture, you know, Michelangelo's or whatever, or a scene, a photograph. And these active images are very much like the level of clarity that I can get. In other words, you can see that image that clear, that high definition. But you see, right, you also see through it. You can actually see your, you know, what you normally would look at through your window. So you're looking at both at the same time. So this is the kind of things that happen with a excited imaging capability that that is trying to bring higher level reality. And this higher level reality is, for me, my purpose is to not necessarily bring technology into the world, but it's to bring the understanding of our true ascension beyond what religion has. Religion has only been able to perhaps put the sketch, a sketch of what it is. I'm trying to put the painting over it, the master art, and you're the ones who actually encode it into reality in your own personal lives. With that understanding and your relationship with divinity, your attainment of divinity is the true color that goes beyond the lines of the sketch. With true understanding and fullness of life, a full life, a life of full experience, experiential as well as one that are esoteric, you know, special knowledge, the spiritual, you might say, transmissions through what is and was disputed. But the spiritual area many times could be described by some as the quantum field. And that area entangles the reality that assembles the true, what we have about us, this three-dimensional reality. But yet more than that, it entangles beyond it. And information and exchange and life can be built upon it so that we can have a much fuller life, a life full of experience and adventure. Because that's what is all part of the maturing process to ascend higher in terms of our divinity ascent. Ascent toward divinity, attainment. Anyway, that's a little story. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saddened that sometimes they can stay stuck. My church friends got stuck, you know, they're stuck. And I was sad that they used fear. I'm going to scare you into heaven. Oh my goodness. My goodness. That's like, you even know what heaven is like? Yeah.
It should be heaven on earth.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Heaven on earth is really, if you go to a planet which has attained light and life, we would think we reached heaven. But that's not it at all. It's only partway there. But being in the New Jerusalem had an extent that was almost intangible, almost I couldn't relate to, yet areas which I could relate to. So anyway, that's another dimension of reality that you can verify. Thanks to NASA. Mm-hmm.
And the Cassini.
And the Cassini, our own science. Uh-huh. And this is part of old Daniel, seal up the words of this book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. And this is the unveiling, mm-hmm. much more. Because it can become more palatable. Otherwise it becomes so esoteric that it's somebody's sketch, which is incorrect, will become the lines that you got to draw in between. Cannot go outside of the lines now. Okay, so my last words is what? My last words are, don't worry about staying between the lines.
Staying inside the lines, yeah.
Don't worry about it. Actually, you are given a greater liberty than you thought. Mm-hmm. One that extends to the real ideal of beauty and your expression of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Staying in between the lines doesn't do it.
Very exciting time right now.
Yeah.
Well, we will talk next week and record. And anyone have any questions, send some questions in. And Michael or Shaharon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll be there.
Okay. Aloha.
All right. Aloha, Michael.